Psalm 139, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through, help if I have my right sermon. Preach the morning sermon again. Verses 13 to 18 is the ones we're going to be looking at here. I really messed up with the bulletin this week. I made a mess of the bulletin with the songs, and now I made a mess of this. Sorry about that. Psalm 139, and we're going to be looking tonight at verses 13 to 18. Let's go ahead and read, beginning with verse number 1. We'll read the context, and we'll get down into these good verses we're going to be looking at here tonight. The Lord, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell on the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So we're going to look at those last verses here that we just read tonight as we think about God's great ability. God's ability is just amazing. You know, according to one report I found on the web, an adult body has 7 octillion atoms. That's 7 with 27 zeros behind it. Another article said that each day about 2 billion body cells wear out and are replaced. And thus the body always is rebuilding itself every 15 to 30 days. For instance, the human body replaces the outermost layer of skin. Our nerves carry messages that travel at the speed of 90 meters per second. And the heart beats 100,000 times each day. You know, whenever I read these kind of fascinating facts about the way God made our bodies, I just marvel. I think, it is so amazing. It is so amazing the way. And then, you know, when people that are evolutionists look at it and say, oh, isn't it amazing how evolution just did all these cool things? I think, duh. I mean, evolution didn't do that. It's so obvious that somebody had to have designed all that to be able to make everything in our body work together so beautifully and so perfectly. And here in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18, God speaks of the creation of a babe in a womb. And I want to look at that section here tonight and highlight some of these amazing things that God did for us. Verse number 13, thou hast possessed my reins. The word reins, you know what that means? The word reins refers to our kidneys. All right? We would maybe say our heart or our gut, but they called it their reins. And they would refer to the reins as we would refer to as our seat of emotions. The Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament states that it is the innermost and most private aspect of a person. So the reins, that's what's deep down inside of you. Those feelings that you have deep down inside that are just yours. And David's referring to those, and he says, thou hast possessed my reins. David knew that when He was a tiny new babe developing in his mother's womb, that he had the beginning of his kidneys or his innermost emotions, and that though incredibly tiny, God was aware of that him as an infant person from conception. Very important for us to see. He says, "Thou hast possessed my reins." Those innermost feelings of mine that began at the very beginning, you knew all about that. Abortionists today claim that a tiny baby is just a blob of tissue. That's not true. And it is a living human being with feelings and emotions. If you've ever watched some of the videos that creationists have put together and showing an abortion, or the doctor sticking a needle in there trying to poke a baby, and that little kid's moving around and squirming and trying to avoid that thing, and I said, "Oh, it's just a blob of tissue." No, that's a human being, and it's so sad that they kill them by the millions in that way. And when David said that God possessed his reins, what did he mean? Well, the word possessed there means to buy or acquire or possess. David's innermost person belonged to God, even though he was only a few tiny cells big. It was God's possession from creation. What a great God. What an amazing God. And then he goes on, he says, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." The word covered has two meanings to it. If you were to look it up in a lexical dictionary, you'd see there that the first meaning means, like they've translated here, means to hide, to shield something, to cover it up so you can't see it. The other meaning means to weave together. And both of those meanings really fit in this context. You know, that the little baby is covered or hidden from in his mother's womb. And, you know, we have ultrasound today. They didn't have ultrasound in David's day, of course. We have ultrasound and x-rays, but they only show the form. You don't see the actual living being. That's deep down inside. And then as you look at the other aspect of it, that God weaves together every part of their body, that is so true as well. That to weave together. I remember as a boy, we had I guess you'd call it a weaving thing. It was for making hot pads. And you can't even buy them anymore, I don't think. But it was a little loom-like, and you'd put all the little cloth things across there, and then you weave the other ones through that, and you can make some really cool designs and wonderful hot pads. We still have some of them today that are, you know, 40 years old, and they work great. But, you know, this weaving it together, and, you know, this word, as you use this word in this passage here, is God wove us together, all the intricate parts of our nervous system and our blood system and our brain and our organs and all of those things. God weaves them together, and they all work in harmony. Just absolutely amazing. Not only God's creation of us, but actually the design. I mean, none of us could create it either, but the actual thinking of a design like that is phenomenal. To think he thought of all the little possibilities that needed to be dealt with and didn't miss anything. And the body works perfectly. And or it should. Doesn't always these days, because we've tampered with it or corrupted it. But we move on here in verse number 14. He says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You know, David knew that he was fearfully made by God. The word fearful there doesn't refer to fright. It refers to awe. He says, "We are awesomely made." You look at the complexity of the body and you stand back in awe and you think, that is amazing. That is amazing. And I've seen different creation videos of, you know, they multiply things up in their microscopes, and you see these little organisms there that look like, you know, this one, I think they called it a flagellum. And it's got all these kind of screws and gears and stuff in it, and it's absolutely amazing. You think, you know, we've made machines and stuff, but God made this in so tiny, and it works perfectly. It's so amazing. We're fearfully And then David said, we are also wonderfully made. The word wonderful is a great word. It refers to distinctness. We are wonderfully made. We're distinctly made. Every one of us are unique. You know, there's not two people on earth that are exactly alike. Even the identical twins, there's things about them that are still different. And God has made us unique, and specific characteristics that He has given to us. You know, you are unique to God. You know, I'm presently listening to an audio book that's by a medical doctor on nutrition. And repeatedly she tells complicated things about the body and how things work together. And then she turns around and says something silly about evolution putting it together. I wonder why. I think, you missed the whole point. And it's so, but she has to admit this is amazing how things are fitting together, and how if this goes wrong, then this goes wrong. And if you don't do this, it'll do this. And she puts it all together, and it's like, how did all that happen? But accidentally, by evolution. And they don't think, you know, these brilliant people that just don't think, all, if that was really done by evolution, every one of those complex steps had to be done all at once, or else it wouldn't work. And they don't think about that. But it really is an amazing body that God has given to us. And we ought to praise God for how He has made each of us. You know, He's made no mistakes. And if God has given you some bodily features which you don't particularly care for, instead of complaining, what we really need to do is ask God to help us to use those parts that He's given to us for His glory. You know, I don't know why God made us the way He did, but God's got a reason. God makes no mistakes. And I have to remind myself of that regularly. We don't understand why we're all different. And, you know, God has, one of those things that I've struggled with, and I got to be real careful not to get bitter about it, is that I have a disability in my reading. And it's a mental disability. And I sometimes joke with Melody about this. My mom told me when I was a little kid, she had a big high crib for me, and I crawled over the top of it and landed on my head. And I said, well, that's probably what went wrong. It could be what went wrong. I don't know. But nonetheless, that's the way I am. And I can't fix that. And it's not just taking more reading classes. It's a mental disability. I just can't do it. And I praise the Lord that at least I can read, but I just can't read quickly, and I stumble a lot. And that frustrates me. But yet I got to praise God and say, God, thank you. I can read. I've got a brain to be able to figure things out if I go slow enough. And You've given me many blessings. And so, you know, you may have a disability. You may have an issue. You may have something about your body. They say, I wish it wasn't like this. Well, we need to just be thankful and to ask God to help us to praise Him for the way that He has made us. He goes on. He says, we are marvelous are thy works. Marvelous are thy works. My soul knoweth right well. David exclaimed that God's works, or His workmanship, was marvelous or wonderful. When we take a closer look at each one of these cells and its contents and how they all work in harmony, it is a wonderful design and a wonderful creating. God is wonderful. And David said, my soul knows this very well. And you know, deep down inside of us, we all would have to say the same. We know deep down inside, we are marvelously made. Not one of us could possibly design us the way we are. And so God has wonderfully made us for His glory. And then verse number 15, my substance was not hid from thee. The word substance here speaks of His strength, His might, particularly His strong bones. You look up in a lexicon and it says, you know, that it does speak of strength, but the strength is particularly related to our bone strength, the strength of our body. And as the strong bones grew in his mother's womb, they were not hid from God. God sees everything. He saw that taking place inside of his mother's womb. And he goes on, he says, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That makes you scratch your head a little bit and think about that. Let's just work through that. He said that we are made in secret. Well, the word made there refers to being fashioned or formed or completed. God said that was, David said it was done in secret. Well, in other words, we developed hidden from view. You know, when that babe's growing in the mom's womb, nobody can see it. You can't see what's going on in there. And then, yes, they can do ultrasounds and see some things, but you really can't see everything. I remember when our middle son was born, Melody was having complications, and the nurse came in all night long. She was having complications, and when the morning shift came on, the older nurse came in, and she took one look at her, checked her out, says, the baby's breech. I mean, all night long, the other nurses had no clue. But this old nurse, she knew right away. And so then they immediately sent her in to get x-rays to see whether the baby was small enough to come through the birth channel and without complications and all that kind of stuff. And they did. They took all their x-rays, said, yep, he's small enough, no problem. But God was gracious. God wouldn't let him come down. And finally they took him cesarean. And when he was born, they said, whoa, he's a lot bigger than we thought he was. Yeah. Well, thank the Lord. The Lord knew what he was doing. Right, and so, you know, we can, they can see some things, but they can't really see the whole thing. And God said we're made in secret. And he says we're curiously wrought. The word curiously wrought refers to embroidery and weaving and needlework of variegated or mixed colors. So he's using it as an illustration. He says we are made like an intricate embroidery work. You ladies have ever worked on embroidery, or us men have seen it, you see the front of it if they've done a nice job. But sometimes you can have a phenomenal picture. You look at the back and you think, what a mess. But, you know, sometimes our lives are like that. We look up at God and say, God, all I see is a mess of my life. And God looks down and says, it looks beautiful to me. Because he sees the top picture. But, you know, he says here that we're curiously wrought. We're put together like a beautiful embroidery. And he says it's in the lowest parts of the earth. David was not talking about us being born somewhere deep down in the depths of the earth, you know, but what was he talking about? Well, there's a couple of ideas. One is that it may refer to the fact that we as humans are made from dust. I don't know if that makes good sense, but that is one of the ideas that commentators have said. Another one that I think makes a little bit more sense to me is that David was referring to something that was, you know, out of sight. You couldn't see it. It's down in, you know, maybe in a cave or in a hole in the ground. You can't see it. It's dark down there and you can't see. And so referring to the fact that you can't see the growing of a baby. It's being developed in there. You can't see that. It's just like looking down into a dark hole in the earth that you can't see. So I don't know exactly, but that may be a possibility of what he's talking about there. But if you have some other ideas and like to share them with me afterwards, I'd be delighted to hear them. Verse number 16, he says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Now, we saw the word substance up in verse 15. But this word, the Hebrew word for substance here, is a totally different word. This one, the first one referred to the structural bones of the body. This one refers to an embryo, a little tiny embryo. And he says there that your eyes see my embryo, yet being unperfect, undeveloped. It was still in its formative stages where you look at it and say, yeah, I can't really tell much about that. It's that stage, that really early stage. David said, you saw me in all that. You were there. You saw that. And God saw when he was yet undeveloped in his mother's womb. And he says, and in thy book, all my members were written. In continuance were fashioned, and when as yet there was none of them. You know, evidently, God has some kind of a book about your life and mine. I mean, God's all-knowing, and he doesn't forget things, but David described it as having a book. And remember, the book of Revelation says that God will open the books. He's got books about us. And apparently in the book about you and a book about me that God has, he's got all the details, even little stuff like this. David says, you've got all my members written down there. God, he says, in your book, you've got about my fingers and my toes and my ears and my eyes and all the little things that you are developing. He says, you've got it all written down. You've recorded all of my members in your book. This took place before they could even be seen or identified by a human. God knew it all. God is an amazing God. Verse number 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. As David pondered over these thoughts, the things that he had just talked about here in these verses about God's mind and his ability to grasp all these things and all the things that David was describing about God's knowledge of a baby developing, he says, how precious are those thoughts to me, O God? And the idea of precious there is valuable. And he says, God, your thoughts are valuable to me. The things that I know that you know about me. You know, if you and I take time to ponder God's thoughts described in this psalm, they ought to be precious to us as well. To just stop and think, God knew me. He wrote down all my members before they could even be identified. God knew all about me. He knew my very innermost emotions, my reins. He knows all about me from the time I was conceived. God knows us intimately. And he said, how great is the sum of them? I thought this was interesting. The word sum there refers to the top. And it's as though David was saying, all those thoughts of you, God, if we stack them all up, in a big old stacked up pile, this very top of them, this whole stack would be very high because there's so much you know about me. All the details about my life, you know it all. And then in verse number 18, if I should count them, they are more than the sand. He said, he's still referring to that stack of God's thoughts. He says, God, your thoughts about me are stacked up so high that they're very high, but he says, if I tried to count them all, they'd be like the sand of the seashore. So many, I cannot comprehend them all. And David concluded that if he counted them, they'd be like the sand, and probably this is an exaggeration for emphasis, called a hyperbole, but emphasizing there that God's knowledge about my creation is totally beyond comprehension. God knows us. He knows so much about us. And he says, when I awake, I am still with thee. David would ponder these thoughts as he fell asleep at night. Great thing to think about. God's marvelous design of the human body. And he'd ponder that as he was going asleep, and then when he woke up in the morning and he'd start thinking about it again, he says, it's still amazing. I still can't figure it out. It's awesome. It's amazing what God has done. Bob Utley, a commentator, made this comment. He said, the psalmist falling asleep while counting God's blessings and waking again still find him present because he could not finish the counting. He says, God, there's so much to think about. So much that God knows about us. Beyond our grasp, beyond our comprehension, God knows us very, very well. And so all through this psalm, he's showing us, first of all, the first six verses, that God sees everything about us. The next six verses, he says, God is everywhere. You can't get away from God. And now in these six verses, we see here that God knows us so intimately well. He's known us since we were a tiny embryo in our mom's womb. God knows all about us, all the details about us. He knows everything. There's nothing we can hide from God. And that is a great thing to ponder and think about. It's a great thing to think about as you lay in bed and ready to sleep. How great God is. God makes no mistakes. And why did God allow you to be like you are? He has a purpose. And we need to just say, God, I don't understand, but help me to use what you've given me the best I can for your glory.